Today's shir is Masech de Kedushin Daf Nun Dalad. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud Amarav. We had learned in our Mishnah that according to Rameya, the Shigigas Hegdish, if somebody had accidentally used Hegdish to make a Kedushin, the halacha is Einam Kedushis. And the Gemara offers another explanation why. And says the Gemara Amarav Chazana called Stodden Shirameya. We've tried to understand Rameya's opinion, and we don't find the place that Rameya's opinion is that Hegdish b'shoigig eim eschalo, that if somebody used Hegdish by mistake, it doesn't lose its kedushin. The b'meizid, if he did a b'meizid eschalo, Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah says that according to Rameya, as we just said, if somebody b'shoigig used Hegdish, the halacha is that Einam Kedushis, because as Rashi explains, Rav did not agree with what we learned in our previous shir, that the reason why Rav Meir would hold it's not a good Kedushin is because he held it's a Kedushe Tos. The only, says the Mishnah Seinu, our Mishnah, says Rav, the Rameya holds that it's not a good Kedushin b'shigiges Hegdesh, is connected to the Mishnah of Ksoinis Kahanim Kunish Leibolu. The halacha is that the clothing of the Kohen, which have not become ruined yet, that the halacha is that they ought to be subject to Milah b'Hegdesh, since they were bought and made from Hegdish funds. But the halacha is, hoil v'nitnu l'mohanes behen, the halacha is when that they one may have hanor. And as the explanation goes, hoil flishlai nitnu l'toyru l'malach esharis. Kohanim are obviously allowed to wear the big day kahuna when they're doing the avoda. But they would be obligated to remove those big day kahuna the moment they complete the avoda. But that's virtually impossible. We're all human beings. Malachim can live such a life. Human beings cannot be confident that the second they finish doing the avoda, they could take off the big day kahuna, that they should avoid having any hanor from him. So what does that mean? That when they were magdish the big day kahuna, they made up that even if somebody will use them for their own personal use, the halacha is that they will remain hegdish, they will not be considered milah b'hegdish. And therefore, the same halacha would be if somebody would use them to be mekadosh and isha, since, as we just learned, they're not subject to milah, so they're still hegdish. Since they're still hegdish, if you're going to use such a beged or such an article to mekadosh an isha, you're using something that doesn't belong to you. And as we keep on stating in our shiurim, the halacha is that you could only be mekadosh a woman with something that belongs to you. If they still belong to hegdish, that's why it's not considered a valid hegdish. So the Tosfos Rit explains, since b'shoigig, if you did this, you're allowed to have hanor, even though it becomes hegdishes. That's why it's not considered that you were mekadosh the issue with something that belongs to you. It rather belongs to hegdish. But we also learned, explains the Tosfos Rit, and other Rishonim make the same point, that if you were mekadosh a woman b'meizid with hegdish, then it would be considered a valid hegdish. Why? Because even though, as we just learned, when they were mekadosh the big day kahuna, they will not be hegdish if going to use a b'shoigig. They did not make such a stipulation. Such a stipulation was not made if it was done b'mezid. So if somebody used big day kahuna, for example, b'mezid, they become chulin. And therefore, since they become chulin, so if you use it to be mekadosh an isha, it would be a valid kedushin. Rabbi Huda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with the basic principle that we've been discussing. Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Loi Nitna Torah L'Melacha Esharus, and that the Big Day Kahuna, if they were warned by a Kohen, don't lose their Hegdish status. But he says that was limited only to the wearing of the Big Day Kahuna. In any other sense, even B'Shoigig, they're no longer Hegdish. And therefore, if you use such Big Day Kahuna to be Mekadosh and Isha, even if it was B'Shoigig, it's because you used it for your own use, they lose their Hegdish status, and that's why Rehuda holds it's going to be a valid Kedushin. So Rashi explains that because of this Tanai, the halacha is you're allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna even Shaloi B'Shas Avoidim. Tosfos says that that's not how far the stipulation goes. Tosfos says it only goes so far that you don't have to remove it literally the second you finish doing the Avoidim. But certainly Tosfos agrees. So Tosfos says that the Kohen has to take it off as quickly as possible. So Migdash David asks, the money that was used to make the Big Day Kahuna were Hegdash money. So how could such a stipulation be made? So he says that the way you have to understand this process was that the process when they were Magdash to Begodim, they made it a conditional Hegdash. And therefore, the Meiri points out even a step further. The Meiri says, yes, we understand that they made a special rule since the Kohanim cannot virtually remove the Begodim in a moment, so if they keep them on longer, it will not be a problem, it will not be considered a Mila. But here we're speaking about a Yisrael. The Mishnah didn't differentiate who used the Big Day Kahuna. The Mishnah says that even if Yisraelim used the Hegdish to be Mail, it wouldn't be a Hegdish. But why? So the Miri says a Chiddush. Once such a rule was instituted that the Big Day Kahuna are not subject to Mila, the rule is not limited to Kohanim. It also applies to Yisrael. Tosfos asks that the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos teaches us that from the clothing, from particularly the pants of the Kohanim that get ruined, they made wicks for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and those were the wicks that were used to light up the Azorah by the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Says, ask Tosfos, yes, we're learning, there's a special stipulation that we're learning in our Shia today that was made that they should be allowed to be worn for whatever amount of time till the Kohanim can remove them. But how can we use these Big Day Kahuna for lighting a menorah for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva? That isn't a carbon purpose. And since, as we just said, it was meant for carbon purpose, how could they be used for that purpose? So Tosfos says that we can't suggest that they made it tonight up front, that they could be used, they're going to be used for Big Day Kahuna, and then afterwards they're going to be used for wicks, because that isn't something, if it's Hegdish, you can't make such a stipulation. Says Tosfos that the purpose of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is very much connected to the Nisach HaMayim, the pouring of the water, which was done on Sukkos. And Nisach HaMayim is considered Tzorech Karbon. Since Nisach HaMayim is considered Tzorech Karbon, that's why it's not considered Mila B'Hegdish if you use those clothing for the wicks for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Another teretz that some Rishonim give, that the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is considered a Tzorech Tzibur. And the halacha is that Shiorei Lishka, any leftover money that they had from the Machzor Shekel, were used for the Tzorech Tzibur. And therefore, Hegdish money can be used for Tzorech Tzibur. The Machna asks that why did they use specifically the pants of the Kohanim for the wicks? Why not any of the other Big Day Kahuna? So he says that there's another lesson to be taught in this Gemara. And that is that even though we're learning that there's no problem and there's no Mi'ilah if the Kohen continues wearing his beged even after he finished doing the Avodah. But one of the big day kahuna is the Avnate. The Avnate is the belt, and the Gemara Masechta Erchin, Daf Gimel Mabeis, says that the Avnate was made out of shatness. And therefore, the Avnate doesn't have the special rule. We can make a rule, say the Achroinim, regarding the other big day kahuna, that the Hegdish should not, that there shouldn't be a problem with Mila Behegdish, even though you're wearing them when you're not actually doing the Avodah. But the Avnate, which is shatness, we can't make a special rule. And shatness, we have to would have to remove it immediately. In order to make that point, that we should realize that shat, that it's specifically the other big day kahuna, that's why the Gemara says that they used, that's why the Gemara says that they used the tzoinis, the other clothing of the big day kahuna, but of the kohen, but not the Avnate. Shatness, there's never a heter to wear even for one moment. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis, teaches us, Yordu Geshamim, if it's raining Chas V'Shalom and Sukkahs, may we say Mutter Lufanois, for when may you leave the Sukkah? B'Shetisra Chamek Mikvah. So Shas HaTshuvas Oynid Yontif, Simen Mem Tes, says that, how do we understand that Gemara? Do we understand that Gemara that if it's raining, mitzvah potim in a sukkah, somebody who has a hard time sitting in the sukkah when it's raining is allowed to leave the sukkah? Or, but if he wants to remain in the sukkah, the halacha will be that he's allowed to remain in the sukkah. Or is the halacha that once it's raining, then you're not allowed to sit in the sukkah? The sukkah is a tashmish mitzvah. And if it's a tashmish mitzvah, so when are you allowed to sit in it? When you have a mitzvah to sit in it. But if it's raining, you're not allowed to sit in it. It's a tashrish mitzvah, shloi b'moka mitzvah, and you shouldn't be allowed to sit in it. So he uses our Gemara. He uses our Gemara to say that just like our Gemara is applying the concept of lo nitna Torah l'malachei sharis, and we can't expect somebody to be only in the sukkah the moment that he's mekayim a mitzvah. But if it's raining and you're not allowed to be in the sukkah, we can't expect you to be relieve the sukkah immediately. So that's a proof that even if it's raining, you're allowed to leave, you're allowed to remain in the sukkah, even if it's maybe not having the kedusha of the sukkah, even if you don't have a mitzvah, and therefore the question will be, how can you sit in a sukkah when you don't have a mitzvah? You'll be mishtamish with the sukkah when it's not b'maka mitzvah. The same concept that we learn here of lo'initnu Torah l'machei sharis, the shailus yavitz, chele beis simkuf chavtes, applies to the issue of insects, infestation, and fruits and vegetables, which we know that the Torah is extremely strict about not eating taloyim, but he says, okay, kol shebodek, if somebody properly looked at the fruit and vegetable, v'leinimtzabon, he didn't find any infestation, shuv ein lochesh, you need not be concerned, v'chilmenei shufri v'shifra, and you can eat it without any question. And he says, "V'hocha chazinu rabbanim k'shishei omar d'ovda." I saw great rabbanim, people who are careful in mitzvahs. V'machmer yachmer atzmi. Somebody wants to be machmer, he should be machmer for himself. Ava ein lahachmer bechumer yisera ala tzibur. One shouldn't be overly strict on the community. Da'yach masha osa toyrah v'gazru chazal. We only have to do what chazal say. And he says, "Ein lahachmer oira lahamoyim." And somebody's ach lahachma oira lamoim to be overly strict ain't das chacham noichemenu. It's not something that Chazal want. V'tamal atzmecha, and he says, think to yourself. V'chiyesh eza priya macha ba'olam shlo nimtzabay taloim. Everything has organisms. So does that mean v'tesa kol macholam v'aperis v'irakus that we won't be able to eat any food, any vegetables? And he says the same concept that we learned in our shir. V'lo nitna Torah l'malachei sharis. The Torah wasn't given to malachei sharis. We only could do what we could do. Says the Sefer Chassidim. Yesh Tvarim, Shin Samach Beis. Yesh Tvarim Tachmal Adam. If there are certain things that if we're going to be overly strict, then the halacha will be Lo Yasa Mitzvah. People won't end up doing the Mitzvah. And he says, there was a chassid that didn't want to touch his body when there was any lice and fly on his body. If he would find something like that, he said, I can't wear tefillin. And then he said, I can't wear tefillin because who knows what's on my body. He says, I can't do all sorts of things when throughout the day with all sorts of concerns. And he ended up, says the Sefer Chassidim, not living a normal life. He says, That's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants us to live a normal life. We spoke a moment ago about the clothing of the Kohanim Shabalu after they're no longer usable. The question is, could what they were used, we quoted the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that they were used to make the light for the Simchas Beis Yeshoiva. So I saw that Cheshukei Chemed has, and we explained, because that's considered Tzarech HaKarbon, is considered Tzarech HaTzibur. And the Cheshukei Chemed has an interesting question. His question is that somebody, the community, raised funds to write a Sefer Torah. And he says that they now are going to have a procession where the Sefer Torah will be given. And the question that he discusses, usually by those procession, you have music and you have torches and you have other things. And the question that he discusses is one allowed to use the money that was collected for that, for the purpose of the Sefer Torah, for these needs as well. And he says that if it was specifically collected and said that the money will be used only for the Sefer Torah, then of course it may not be used for any other purpose. But if that's not what was clearly stipulated, that's considered part of the Tzarech Sefer Torah, that's considered part of the Tzarech HaTzibur, and therefore the halacha is that it can be used for that purpose. So this concept, he also, of Leinitnu Torah L'Melacha Isharis, he uses for a very interesting shaila. He says there was somebody who they were mechabed him to be the sandik at a bris, but he didn't have very nice clothing, and he wanted to wear a nice suit, whatever, a nice talus, as he was sandik. And when he got, and while he was wearing it, it got dirty with the wine, maybe from the moil that makes the bracha on the wine, maybe from some of the blood of the bris milah. And the person who lent it to him said that, I didn't lend it to you on that purpose. And he says, Leinitna Torah Melacha Isharis. And the person, therefore, was allowed to wear it. And even if there's a claim that the person who lends him the clothing said, well, you should have taken off the talus, who lent him the talus, should have taken off the talus the moment the bris milah was over. And if you would have taken off the talus the moment the bris milah was over, then we wouldn't have had this problem. He could claim, Leinitna Torah L'Melacha Isharis, just like the Kohanim weren't expected to remove their Bigdei Kohuna the moment the Avodah was over, so too I cannot be expected to have to do so the moment the Avodah is over. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara, again, Rav has said, the fact that we learned that the Bigdei Kohuna don't have to be removed, at least B'shoigig, don't have to be removed the moment you finish doing the Avodah. From here we can learn, says Rav, that if you use Hegdish B'shoigig, that's still Hegdish, and therefore Rameyah's opinion that the Hegdish that was used to make a Kedushin would be an invalid Kedushin. Toshma, ask the Gemara question of Rav. It says in the Braisa, Ksoinus Kuhuna Shabalu, if the Bigdei Kuhuna got ruined, my Alam Bahem. Rameya's opinion is that they're subject to Mila. And the Gemara assumes, my love, isn't that halacha loy balu? So you see that they are subject to Mila. If the subject to Mila, how does Rameyah say that they're still hegdish if you were moil with them? Says the Marloy. It's speaking specifically balu dafku. That means as long as they're usable, as long as they are wearable by the Kayan. So there's a special rule, as we began our shiur today, they're not subject to Mila, because lo nit the Torah l'malachei sharis. But once they're no longer usable, so there Ramei is going to say that since they're no longer usable, they're hegdish. And if you use it for your own purpose, you made it chulin, and the hegdish would be, the kedusha would be, it would be subject to Mila. The Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, beginning in the Masechta, teaches us be'echa ba'odem hashmiyim al hashkolim, on Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they would start bringing kabbonis. There were kabbonis tzibur brought, and the kabbonis tzibur came from the money that they collected from all of Klal Yisrael for the machzor shekel that they brought from all of Klal Yisrael. The date that they started using the new money was Rosh Chodesh Nissan, and that's why the Mishnah says in Rosh Chodesh Adar they make an announcement that that money should be brought. And that money that will be brought, starting with Chodesh Nissan, will be used for the Kabbonis Tzibur. That new money is called Taklin Charitin. But there were people who didn't bring money last year, and they're not exempt from having to bring the Machzor Shekel. So there was a special place for the people who were bringing Shkolim that they didn't bring last year properly, that they're bringing this year. Those are called Taklin Atikin. And the Brisa teaches us, Toshma, Me'alim B'charitin, with the Taklin Charitin, the new Shkolim, that were meant to be used for the Kabbonis Tzibur of this year, if somebody uses it for their own purpose, it's subject to Mila. Ve'eim Me'alim B'atikin, the money that was put in for Atikin, they're not used for bringing Kabbonis, and since they're not used for bringing Kabbonis, they're used for general upkeep of the city, and etc., they're not subject to Mila. Ramea Omer, Mayala Apatikim. Ramea disagrees, and Ramea says there's even Mila in the Taklan Atikim. Shoya Ramea Omer, because Ramea's opinion is, Mayala B'Shiar Elishkin. Even money that's used for the Shiar Elishka funds, which we just said are used to make the walls and make the clothing, the halacha is that they're subject to Mila. For Mai, why are they subject? Again, they were primarily used for the walls and of the city, the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rameyer, at the beginning of our shiur today, has taught us the klal, taught us the rule of Leinitna Torah L'Malach HaSharis. The walls of the city of Yerushalayim, Mishyar Elishkos, so came from this money. Tatnan, Chaimus Eir Megdosel, V'chol Tzorche Eir, everything that the city needed, born Mishyar Elishka, come from the Shyar Elishka. Now here too, it can't be expected that nobody should ever lean on a wall. So we see, why could you lean on a wall? Why could you benefit from the wall? Because Lainit Natar L'Malach HaSharis. So why does Rameyah say it's subject to Mila if he holds to the concept of Lainit Natar L'Malach HaSharis? Says the Gemara, Loi Tema, don't say in that price that it's the opinion of Rameyah. Ela'ema, rather say it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rameyah, because he holds Loi Nitna Torah L'Malach HaSharis, says that the money that's used for a wall cannot be subject to Mila because of Loi Nitna Torah L'Malach HaSharis. Toshma, so Gemara asks another question. The Tanya, the price teaches us, Amram Mishmo Bar Yitzchak, Avnei Yerushalayim Shanashu. The walls, the stones of the city of Yerushalayim that fell down. Me'alim behem, a subject to Mila, Divrei Rameyah, opinion of Rameyah. And again, the same question is, why are they subject to Mila? Why don't we say, Lo'inet Natar L'Malach HaSharis? Again, answers the Gemara, Lo'i Tamer Rameyah, don't say that this price is the opinion of Rameyah that says that they're not subject to Mila. Rather, Ema, they're the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, consistent with Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Yerushalayim, if we're going to say that this Bryce is representing the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Yerushalayim Mekacha, does Rabbi Yehuda hold that Yerushalayim is subject to Mila? the walls of Yerushalayim Vatanan, Ki'imra. If somebody said on an animal, or Kedirim, or somebody said Ki'imra, that this should be also to me, as we learned the Masechta and the Dorim extensively, particularly at the beginning of the Masechta. Beginning of the Masechta, we learned that when somebody makes a neder, one of the primary ways of expressing a neder is with fossa. You say, this should be also to me like a carbon. So just like a carbon is also, so this, whatever you're saying, should be also will become also. So if you say that this object that you want to say I'm not allowed to have any benefit from should be to me like the animal that's used for the carbon tumid, kedirim, or like the place where the animals that were set aside for hegdish, for kabonis, ke'etzim, like the wood that's used for the mizbeach, ke'ishim, like the fire that's on the mizbeach, ke'hechel, like the beis hamikdash, ke'mizbeach, ke'ushalayim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol Omer Yerushalayim like klum. Yerushalayim says that somebody who says Yerushalayim is not considered that he made a neder, because he holds a Yerushalayim ain't b'am kedusha. So how are we saying that Rabbi Yehuda is the man the Omer, that if you had enough from the wall of Yerushalayim, you were mayel, it doesn't have hegdish, v'chi tema. And if you'll say that actually Rabbi Yehuda will agree that Yerushalayim does have kedusha. Why, when somebody said Yerushalayim layama klum, Mishum de layama ki Yerushalayim? Vatanya, Rabbi Yehuda ma kolam ki Yerushalayim loy kama klum. Even if you use the word ki Yerushalayim, it's not considered a valid neder. Achi yidar bedova kar Yerushalayim. You have to say about the kabbonis that were born in Yerushalayim, but not Yerushalayim itself. So how can we say that when we're looking for the Tana that says that doesn't hold of Leinit Notar L'Malachai Asharis? We keep on saying it represents Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, it's Rabbi Yehuda, but we're applying it to the walls of Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yehuda says that the walls of Yerushalayim are not subject to Mila. Answers the Gemara, Trei Tanoi V'Liv Rabbi Yehuda. There's a Machlokes Tanoim. What is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion about the walls of Yerushalayim, if they have Hegdish or not? So I saw that the Majid Tzareba, in a Sefer Yisa Bracha, says, a pidrush. What does it mean when it says, Haim Yerushalayim Loim Aklum? He says, what it means to say is that if somebody says Yerushalayim, all he does is he talks about Yerushalayim, but he doesn't do anything about Yerushalayim Loim Aklum. It's not enough just to talk about Yerushalayim. Haim Yerushalayim, if you just speak about Yerushalayim Loim Aklum, that is inadequate. What's required to do is to do something to help the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Rav Moshe, and the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe, Yerdei Chelik Dalet Simen Samach Beis, has a very interesting discussion about speaking here about the walls of Yerushalayim. He speaks there about taking stones of the Kaisel HaMaravi. And he says there that the Medrash says, Hine Za'oimid Acha Kosleinu, Za Kosle Maravi Shobes Amigdosh, Sheshchina Shenachar of Loilam. The Medrash says the Kosle Maravi will never be destroyed, Sheshchina B'Marav, because the Kosle Maravi is on the west side, and that's where the Shechina is. And the Medrash in Echa says, the Gozrim Shemayim, the Layachu Loilam will never be destroyed. So since he says that the Kaisel has such kedusha, he says taking a stone from the Kaisel may be considered meila because it's hegdish. And he says even if the person doesn't use the stone, it's not like somebody would take a stone of the Kaisel and use it for his own purpose. Even if he has the stone and just keeps it in his house, still he says that also is considered using hegdish in an improper fashion. Because hegdish should be, anything that's hegdish should only be used for the purpose for which it was designated. So the stones of the Kaisel, he says, were designated to be part of the Kaisel Maravi. They weren't designated to be in your dining room. And then he says that there would be here a violation of Leitas and Kein Lashem Lekechem, even if it's not Hegdish. But certainly it's the Kais Maravi, which, as we just learned, says Ramosha, the Medrash describes its incredible Kedusha. And the Medrash, by describing its incredible Kedusha, certainly the din of Leisas Kein Lashem Lekechem, that we have to treat everything that belongs or related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tremendous respect, would be extremely relevant here. And moreover, he says a very practical point. He says, who wouldn't want, he says, to have a piece of the Kaisel Maravi in their home? And since everyone, he says, wants to have a piece of the Kaisel Maravi in their home, what that really means, he says, is if everybody's going to take a piece of the wall because they want to have a piece of that Kaisel Maravi in the home, we won't be left with any Kaisel Maravi. And therefore, he strongly warns and speaks strictly about nobody being allowed to touch those stones, and of course, certainly not being allowed to chip away from those stones. Says the Gemara, Omu Ula Mishmed Rapa Pada, Oima Her Meir, Hegdish B'meizim Mischalul, if somebody deliberately used Hegdish, it loses its Kedusha, B'shoigig E Mischalul, but B'shoigig, it's not Mischalul, it's V'loi Omru B'shoigig Mischalul, and this, though we said that it is Mischalul, El Inyan Karban Bovad. Only if somebody used Hegdish B'shagig, he's Chayiv Karban Mila. But ask the Gemara if that's true, that if you took a Karban and B'shagig you used it, it's that animal that you designated for a Karban is still Hegdish, so why would you be Chayiv Karban Mila? Ask the Gemara, V'chimi Achadei Mischal, if it doesn't lose its Hegdish, so carbon b'may mechayiv. Why would you be chayiv a carbon? Elo says the Gemara ka'aser Ravin pirish mishmeid rapada oimay remeya hegdish b'mezid mischalul. If you use hegdish b'mezid, it loses its kedusha b'shagig ein mischalul. V'loy amro b'shagig mischalul. The reason that you have to bring a carbon elin in achil b'vad. Because you're destroying the Mammon Hegdish. But if you did it, and therefore if B'shagig, when you were Mekadosh in Isha, so you didn't ruin the money, and therefore it's considered a Kedusha Tos. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Rav Huda, Alok Ramei B'maisa, the Alok is like Ramei B'maisa Sheni, that's considered Mammon Gevoya, and if somebody was Mekadosh a woman with Maisa Sheni, whether b'shoigig or whether b'mezid, it's enu mekadeshus, because it's not his mammon, it's mammon gevoya. And why do I say that? Says Rav Nachman, however sosim latanaka v'sei, we have a stam mishnah, which we're going to see in a second, supporting that opinion. The lachter of Yehuda b'hegdish, that if somebody used hegdish to be mekadesh an isha, the halacha is that the kedushin b'shoigig is a kedushin because the money loses its kedusha, but b'mezid, like Rabbi Yehuda said, it won't lose its kedusha, and since it won't lose its kedusha, so you're not using your money to be mekadosh the isha, and therefore b'shoigig the kedushin would be a valid kedushin, like Rabbi Yehuda says, and b'mezid it would not be considered a valid kedushin because only b'shoigig b'schal v'loy mezid. The pasuk says by Yaakov Avinu. He took the stone that he put under his head. Ask some cipher. The halacha is the klishin ishtamish behedjit, that something that was used for mundane purposes, osla gavaya. So ask some cipher, if this was the stone that on which Yaakov Avinu placed his head, how could he use it to make a matseva? So he answers that these stones were the stones that came from the Mizbeach of Noach. These were the stones on which Yitzchak had the Akedah. So then we have a different question. If that's the case, they were Hegdish. If they were Hegdish, how did Yaakov Avinu put his head on them? So one Teretz, he says, that he didn't actually put his head on them. He put them around his head. And therefore, it's not considered me'ila. Another teretz they gave, there was a situation of pikuach nefesh laying out there in the field. If that's the case, so since it was hegdish, and it didn't lose its status of hegdish, presumably, because just because of pikuach nefesh, so how could he make from them a mizbeach? So it says the Chasam Sofer that hegdish, we just learned in our Gemara, that hegdish emes chal b'mezid. When is there halacha that hegdish loses its kedusha? If you used it b'shogeg. But if you used it b'mezid, it doesn't lose its kedusha. Yaakov Avinu, according to this teretz, was very well aware that these stones were hegdish. And even though he was so well aware that they were hegdish, he would use them, and as the Chasam Sofer says, he was allowed to use them because it was a situation of pikuach nefesh. And therefore, since it was b'mezid, it didn't lose its kedusha. If it didn't lose its kedusha, that's why they were allowed to be used. They didn't lose its kedusha, that's why it could continue to be used for a mizbeach. So the Gemara just said that we pass like Ramei b'mais mahi. What does that mean? The Tanan, the Mishnah, and Masech the Maaseh Sheni, Perakei Mishnah Gimel says, Kem Ravai. We know that the first 3 years when a field is planted, the fruit is Osir, it's Orlo. Afterwards, it becomes Kem Ravai. And you have to treat it like Maaseh Sheni. B'shamar Me'eloi Chaymish. The halacha is that by Maaseh Sheni, if you are redeeming your own fruit, you have to add a Chaymish. That halacha doesn't apply by Kem Ravai. Vein Loi Bir. The halacha is that by the fourth year and the seventh year, all Trumas and Maisras have to be burnt. That halacha doesn't apply to Kem Ravai. By Selaimrim, Yesh Loi, the halacha of Chaimish and the halacha Bir do apply. By Shamaimrim, furthermore, says the Mishnah, Yesh Loi Peret. The halacha is that the grapes that fall down when you're cutting the field, the halacha is peret kamachalai salakate, that halacha applies to Kem Ravai. V'yeshlo erlis, the small grapes that don't grow on clusters, they grow right out of the stem, have to be left for anim. Be'selaymer kololagas, you could squeeze them off for wine. Then they don't have the regular dinim of matnas anim. Says the Gemara, my time of the Basil, where does Basil take his opinion from? Gamri Kaddish Kaddish B'maisa. We learn Xer Shav from Maisa. Ma Maisa Yeshle Chamish Yeshle Bia. Av Kemer Vayi, says Basil Yeshle Chamish Yeshle Bia. Obey Shammai, like Gamri Kaddish Kaddish B'maisa. As we often say throughout Shas, you can't learn Xer Shav by yourself. Basil had a Messiah, had a Kabbalah to learn this Xer Shav, and therefore they connect the locus of Kemer Vayi to Maisa. Be Shammai do not. So Basil say that Kem Ravai is treated like Maisa, commands severely. What is their opinion regarding is Maisa Maman Gavoya, Maisa Maman Hedget? Ikra Yehuda, a Maikul Lagas, why could you take all the grapes and make wine grape juice out of them? How many Maisa Maman Hedget who? And the halacha should be that Omar Yehuda says the Maisa Maman Hedget who? And therefore, should be the halacha. Why would it be Potter? Elav Kremeir. It must be that he holds the Maisa's Mam Gavaya. And since it's Mam Gavaya, all the halachas, the Trumas, the Maisras, etc., don't apply to it. So we clearly see there, Yehuda's opinion, there, Beis Hillel, who we always pass like Beis Hillel, consider Maisa Mam Gavaya and Kula Lagas, and you don't have to remove from it Maisa, etc. We also said Rabbi Yehuda that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda behegdish that b'shoigig it loses if you use the b'shoigig it loses its kedusha but if you use it b'mezid it doesn't lose kedusha. Ask the Gemara where do we see a Mishnah that supports that? The Tanan, the Mishnah in Masechta Me'ilah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amen Aleph teaches us shilach b'yad pekeach if somebody sent hegdish some money that belongs to hegdish with an intelligent person, Viniskar, and after he sent it, he remembered that it's Hegdish, Achlagi Etzel Chavani, and then until it got to the Chemvani, and Chemvani Mol, l'chashiyotzi. Even though, as we learned earlier, the halacha is that we don't apply the concept of ein shlich l'dvar aveir by mila, that's only if the mishaleach and the shliach were shagigim. But here, the mishaleach is no longer shagig. He knows that it's hegdish. So therefore, the person who uses it, the chenveni, will violate mi'ilah. And therefore, we see that there's a difference by mi'ilah between shagig and mezid. Krav Yehuda b'maisa mi'ilah tanan. Ask the Gemara, so that's a proof that we're passing like, this is a Stam Mishnah, it's a proof that we're passing like Rabbi Huda by Mi'ilah, there's a difference between Shogig and Mezid. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Huda by Meiser Mi'ilah Tanan, is there no Mishnah supporting Rabbi Huda's opinion by Meiser? But Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Hapoy the Meiser Sheini Shaloi, if somebody's redeeming his Meiser Sheini, Meiser Lov Chemishah, so he has to add Chemishah. Bei Mishaloi, whether it's his Meiser Sheini, Ben Shinit Lam Matana, whether it was given to him as a gift. Mani, says the Gemara, whose opinion does that Mishnah represent? Ilam Ramehi, if a one is one to suggest that it represents the opinion of Rameya, ask the Gemara, Mimatsu Yavalem Matana, Tibi Maisha Shani be given as a gift. Vama, we know Rameya's opinion is the Maiser is Mama Gavayahu, and you can't give it away as a gift. Elalav, isn't that clearly indication that Mishnah, that Stam Mishnah, follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, the Meiser is Mum and Hedjit, and since it's Mum and Hedjit, it can be given as a gift. Says the Mar Olam Rameya. That Mishnah could be following the opinion of Rameya. V'achim Ma'iskinen, kigoyin diyav nilei betivlei. He gave the entire produce before the Meiser Sheni was removed. And indeed, Rameya is going to hold, you cannot give Meiser Sheni as a gift, because Meiser Sheni, Mom and Gavoya, but if you have Tevel, from which the Meiser Sheni was not yet removed, so then it's not Meiser Sheni. Because Ramey's opinion is, that Matana Shalai Harma, Kamay Shalai Harma Damni. If you didn't remove the Meiser Sheni, we don't look at that Tevel as if there's Meiser Sheni in it. Rather, the way that Alocha looks at it, as if it's still Tevel, and there's no Meiser Sheni. So I didn't give away Meiser Sheni. So the Gemara brings another Mishnah that seems to support Rabbi Yehuda's opinion regarding Meiser Sheni being Mum and Hedyet, not Mum and Gavaya. The Mishnah says, "Apoy the Neter Vay Shaloi." If some is Poy the Neter Vay, Meiser Lov Chamishasai. Beim Shaloi. Again, that Allah applies if it's his own. Beim Shnit Lamentana. Now again, the same question. Ilei Mirameya Mimatzu Yavle. Could somebody give Neter Vay to somebody else as a gift? Vok Shamri Kodesh Kodesh Meiser. We learned that Rameya learns Xeris Shava, that Neter Vay is treated like Meiser Sheni. El Lav, it must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Neter Vay, and by extension Meiser Sheni, a Mum and Hedyet, and that's why it can be given as a gift. Says Merloil and Rameya. He gave the grapes away when they're very small still, and they're not yet considered a fruit. And therefore, since they're not considered a fruit, they're not considered Neter Vay. But like Rabbi Yehuda, I see, and this is not like what Rabbi Yossi holds, the Amma Smother, also Meneshu Puri, that he holds, even when the grape is very small, it's already still considered a fruit and subject to Neter Vay. So Tashma, another Raya, that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Moshe Chimenu Maisa Besela. If a buyer did Meshicha or Maisa at the price of a seller, for like Hispik Leftoisa, but he didn't redeem it, Acha Omid B'shtayim, doubled in price. Nois and Sela, he only has to pay the amount that they made up at the time of Meshicha. And it turns out that this buyer did a great deal because he bought something for a seller which now is worth two Seloim. Mustaka B'Sela, isn't this clearly indication? V'Maisa Sheni Shaloi, it becomes his. Now Mani, Ilem Rameya, Amai Mustaka Sela, why would the buyer profit? Says the Gemara, doesn't the Torah say regarding Hegdish, and we spoke about this earlier in our Masechta, the Nosan Kesef, the Kamlai, that when two regular individuals do a transaction, so as soon as there's Meshicha, that's when the transaction is considered a full-fledged transaction. But when you do a transaction with Hegdish, it's not considered a transaction until you pay. So if the buyer just did Meshicha,
and did not yet pay, it still belongs to the seller. So why does the Mishnah say that the buyer is the one that profited? Elav, it must be that that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that Maisa Sheni is Mum and Hedget, and since it's Mum and Hedget, the Halacha Mashiach applies. Answers the Gemara, yes. Lailan Rabbi Yehuda. That Mishnah clearly supports Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that Maisa Sheni is Mum and Hedget. But there's one Stam Mishnah that we just learned that supports Rabbi Yehuda, and the opinion of Rameyer, the Maisa Sheni is Mum and Gevoya, we have two Mishnayis. The one in Masechta the Igis, that says that the Halacha is like Beis Hillel, and one in Maisa Sheni. Says the Gemara, if vi stama dafka, ask the Gemara, if we always follow a Stam Mishnah, so ask the Gemara, mali chat stama, mali trei stama, what's the difference if we have one Stam Mishnah, two Stam Mishnahs? We always follow the Stam Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Aram Nachum B'Yitzchak, Halok Rameya, it's not just that we have a Stam Mishnah supporting Rameya, but the Stam Mishnah is a Masechta Igis. And something that's learned in Masechta Igis is considered Bichirusa. It's considered superior. Because the name Igis, Rashi explains, is that it was a compilation of halachas that was said by the greatest Talmid Chachamim. So since Masechta Igis represents a compilation of the halachas that were said by the greatest Talmid Chachamim, that's why we follow what it says in Masechta Igis. In Masechta Igis, the halachas quoted like Beis Hillel, the Maisa Sheni Mammon Hedget. In fact, the Teres Yisrael says that it shouldn't be pronounced Igis, it should be pronounced Idis. Just like we always find Igis. Igis means the best. We're going to have that concept often in Masechta Bava Kamma. Here too, Igis means that it's the best. But as the Teres Yisrael, how can we call a Masechta Igis? Didn't we learn a Masechta Ervin? Also, Lomish Muzu No Vizu Eno. One's not allowed to say that this is a nice Gemara, a nice Mishnah, not such a Geshmak. So, how can we say Igis is the best? But so he explains that the issue is not to say that something is nice. To say, if you learned a Shir, you heard a Shir, and you walk out and you say, oh, this was a Geshmak Shir, there's nothing wrong with that. What is problematic is to say that the shear wasn't a good shear. And therefore to say the Masechta Igis represents the nicest, the best, is not considered a violation of any halacha, and maybe so said.